Fat boy.
You know we had to do a podcast, right?
What's your name, fat body?
Yeah, of course, you're a looking food. What the
hell? I'm not fat. I'm big bone.
I'm gonna eat it.
You owe me for one jelly donut.
My wife said no one's gonna laugh.
I've got bigger titties than you did.
Bullshit, because nobody fucking had geese back at that point for a bigger guy.
I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but I might be somebody's shot of whiskey.
You can't think about, hey, I need to lose 100 pounds. You think about winning that day.
Fucking, I want a cheeseburger and a milkshake.
Welcome to episode 30 of the Fat Boy Jiu-Jitsu podcast. So, have you guys been challenging yourselves? I know in the last podcast I've talked about how I haven't challenged myself enough, and I know I haven't. That's why I've been here now in Orlando for about 3 weeks and haven't really got down a consistent jiu-jitsu schedule nor a training schedule, and on top of that, anything else. Our life still seems hectic. It's funny because as of right now, we feel more hectic than when I was driving every week to Orlando from Fort Myers and vice versa, you know, there and back, and going on the weekends. It feels so much more hectic now, even though we're here, we've arrived, we haven't nailed down our schedule yet, our routine, but we're working hard on it and trying to, you know, get it down pat. Like this morning, I was happy I was able to wake up at, early enough to make it to jiu-jitsu. However, I didn't make it on jiu-jitsu on time per se. A couple minutes late, but I think that's the big part of it, is just getting down the waking up schedule. I need to be better at it. That being said, I went ahead and, if you've seen my post on Instagram about it, I signed up for the CrossFit Open for 2018. Now, there's no way in hell that I know that I think that I'm going any further than the first workout. Because then the second workout, I'll probably end up having to do scaled, and third and vice versa, or so on. I mean, and that's fine. I'm doing it because, first of all, the CrossFit family, man, that we have at Tough as Nails is amazing. They're all amazing people. That community, man, that... I don't know. I hear horror stories about some CrossFit gyms and how it's very judgmental and they're not happy. But from the most part, from what I see and from like the people I meet, they love their box. You know, they love their CrossFit gyms. They love where they go train. They love the people they train with. And that's the kind of community we have where, you know, in over here. At Tough as Nails. So, you know, part of the community is, you know, you kind of mingle with people, right? And in that community, it's just like jiu-jitsu when you do tournaments and stuff. So this is their tournament. I did it back in 2015, and I believe at the end of the fifth week, I was in, what, the 73rd, 73,999 probably place, right? So 70, almost damn near 74,000th out of 112,000 people. So, wasn't the greatest show up, but I want to, first of all, see if I'm hoping that Juan of 2018 who's lost 120 something pounds is way better than Juan, who's been working out every day or every morning and weighs 370 pounds. We shall see. I am a little nervous because, like I said, I haven't kept up a training regimen at all. My cardio is probably shit. I know it is. I haven't rode in well over a month and a half. And I think I can count on my hand the amount of times I've been to jiu-jitsu in the last month and a half. So that's not a good sign. But I want to see what I can do. So if you have the means to do it, to sign up, I'm going to do it just because I want to keep on tracking. I think it's cool. I'm a nerd. I want to have numbers to go by and be like, you know, I did this, I was able to do that. Especially if they repeat any of the workouts from, you know, the 15-point series, from the 2015 series. So we'll see. But if you have the means to sign up and do it too, that'd be awesome. That'd be cool. I'm not telling you to give Reebok $20, okay? If you don't have it, you don't have it. The workout's going to be posted anyways, that Thursday or tomorrow, really. And you can do them. So what if you're not ranked or whatever? I'm doing that because I want to do that. You can still do the workout if you so choose. But I think it'd be kind of cool. See what you can do. I'm half crazy, so I know that I'm definitely going to try to do better than I did in 2015, and I hope I really can. Well, I'm not that I hope. I'm definitely going to do everything I can to do better than I did in 2015. So, after our last podcast, I went to Universal Studios with the family. My wife's brother was in town visiting, so he hadn't been in a while. I had just got hooked up with some tickets. Obviously, somebody was touched about... I made a post earlier in the year, or last year, really, towards the end, where I came clean about how I was having so much fun at Universal, yet, you know, I couldn't get on some rides. And then when you can't get on one, you don't even fucking bother trying. And so I knew I should be able to get on the rides by now, right? I figured by now I've lost enough weight to where. So we decided to go. And one of the first rides we went to was in Islands of Adventure. We went to the Harry Potter, the Forbidden Journey. It's one that you sit like in church pews or the school pews. And so we get up to the ride, and it is kind of a tight squeeze to get in. It's not as bad as the other rides or the more intense rides. But there's definitely a size. You know, you have to be a certain size. Well, I'm excited because I'm like, fuck, I can finally fit. I think I can finally fit. I can get on this ride. And I go to have my wife take a picture of me, you know, sitting down trying in the little tri-seat because they have one of those out front. And by the way, you already know, you know, as a big, like, I knew that if they had one of those, that there wasn't even a chance in hell that I was going to fucking try to sit in that seat because everybody would, I would confirm everybody's suspicion that I was too fat to get on that ride. So I would never do that. And that was me. I felt man, I was miserable. Which is another reason why I, like, swore off places like that. Because I was like, fuck, I don't want to go there. There's nothing for me to do. It's a waste of money. And that's, and that was my rationale for, why would I even go? Like, I don't fit in anything. That place is garbage. So I'm all excited to get on, to kind of show off. And right before we get to, because you had a little walk, there was a little walk up, it was like 40 feet away, and we, you know, we can see it. So as I'm walking up, a big girl gets in, and she goes to sit down and doesn't fit. So she kind of called one of the attendants, and, you know, the attendant was kind of basically told her, yeah, if that light don't turn green, that means you can get in. And she tried. Now, mind you, it was already like half an hour wait to go through the castle. And it was first thing in the morning. It must have been 9:30 by this time. And she tells the lady, she goes, you may not be able to ride, but you can still walk through the castle. I felt so bad for that chick when, because I'm like, that's such a fucking dickhead thing to say to somebody. You may not be able to get on the ride, but, and I know the attendant didn't mean it, that it didn't seem like she meant it that way to be mean. She really was just trying to make the day better by saying, look, yeah, you may not be able to get on, but if you want to see the cool shit, because there's some cool shit in there, you know, that's cool. You know, you can do that. And now I know from a fat guy, when someone tells you that, you, I mean, it just, that's just a dagger. You know, that's to just digging it in. Just, okay, thanks. Thanks for putting salt on that wound. So naturally, after she had just done that and that was going on, I'm like, yeah, I can't just take this picture right now. This just fucking happened and I'm here. Like, I felt like I was going to show off, and I couldn't feel like I was breaking that chick's heart. So we go on this ride, and it's just one of these rides. You're on a track, it goes up and down, but it shakes. And at first we thought Uriah was going to be kind of, some of the jerks moves, the dragon comes out at you. We thought he was going to like, nah, not like it. He loved it. Wanted to go back on. So we went back on, and second time we went, it was great, because by the time we got up to the line, it was already time for us to get on. So that was great. But, you know, being able to ride these rides, I was like, yes, this is awesome. What's next? So we go on to the next one, Kong. We do that. And just as the day goes on, I'm like, there was no better feeling than getting on these rides that I know previously there was no way in hell I was going to fit on. And the amount of joy that brought to me, I want that for everybody. If you listen to this podcast and you could never get on a roller coaster before, I want you to get on a roller coaster. I tell you, I used to say, and I would say this, you know, roller coasters are stupid, blah, blah, blah. Nobody needs to be on them. And just down talk them just to make myself feel better because I couldn't get on them. And if you may be doing that, or you may not want to be on a roller coaster, whatever it is, like, man, just do what you need to do to get there. It couldn't be done. Yes, it's hard at times, but it could be done. I did it. But I want everybody to feel how amazing that is, you know, to be able to get on the ride and not have to worry about, oh shit, am I going to fit? Now, like I said, I've gone on those rides. I still kind of worried. I'm not there yet. It's just, I'm way better than what I was. So we go on and we spend the day, We go to ride this train from one park to the other. We get into Diagon Alley and get you ride this wand, this Harry Potter wand, because, you know, that's the cool thing to do when you're visiting Diagon Alley. And coming to find out, these wands are fucking expensive. They're $40 pieces of plastic. $40. Can you believe that? And then they go, hey, you want to make it interactive? Yeah, what's the interactive do? Well, an interactive wand, you go up to certain spots in the park and you make a spell, say the chant or whatever, say the spell, wave the wand, boom, something happens. Ooh, that's amazing. How much is it? An extra $10. So if you're already spending 40, why the hell not just spend 50? Why would you spend 40 on something that doesn't do anything when you can just for $10 more? So that's how they get you. It's a $10. So after we buy his wand, we go to Escape for Gringotts, the Harry Potter ride that I went to at the end of 2015 with my, you know, my best friend, Jim Allers, one of my friends from high school and her friend. They came down on vacation. And actually we met another one of my friends from high school. He was just so happened to be at Universal Studios that day too. So we all met. We go to Escape for Gringotts. Uriah was 5 years old, going on 6. So he was just tall enough at that point to get on the ride. And we wait for about 2 hours in this ride. We get up and they tell me, not that they tell me, I try to get in the seat. I try to put down the lap bar. Lap bar wouldn't go down. Hey, Fatty, these other two guys want to, and it was, oh, my nephew was with us too. My nephew and Jim want to ride. You're kind of impeding this process here. Well, luckily, Uriah had, as we were walking on the platform, I got to go pee. So I kind of took my son off the platform and we walked off. And he said, oh, can we come back? And I go, no, because we're going to have to wait in that line again. So I'm a piece of shit because I made my son feel like he was the reason we couldn't get on the ride because we needed to go take him to the bathroom. So there's, man, there's nothing better that I could have experienced than getting on this ride with him, you know? And it was great. And it kind of helped redeem what I did. I mean, it's still inexcusable what I did. I'm a piece of shit for, you know, for even if he felt that the reason we didn't ever get on that ride when he was that age was because he had to go pee. And now, while it is true that the last time we went to ride that ride, he needed to go to the bathroom, the real reason we didn't get on that ride was because I was too big. And for the simple fact that I've ever let my son believe that he was the reason we didn't ride that ride, I'm kind of a piece of shit. So we get up to the ride and I can actually tell him, no, it's because I couldn't fit in the ride, but we needed to go to the bathroom too. So he was like, oh, made sense for him. We're walking by the seat checker and my wife goes, hey, you want to check? And I'm like, no, let's let it ride. And probably I should have probably checked, but decided to let it ride. We already went on the one Harry Potter. I said, oh, I'm good. We check out all the bank, the cool shit they got there, right? Get on the ride. I fit. We all fit. The guy, I have the attendant. I go, listen, man. I go, I think I'm going to fit. if this bar closes, can you take a picture of us? Because the last time I was here, I couldn't fit on the ride and I got sent home. He goes, yeah, man, that, I'll take a picture. So I got a picture. I'll post that later. I had a shitting grin on my face because I was just ecstatic, over the moon. You know, that's another ride. Uriah loved it. And I'm so happy that I was able to go back. Like, you know, I'm joking, but I'm serious when I say that I'm sort of a piece of shit for ever letting him believe that, you know, he was the reason why we didn't get on that ride. But the one positive I will say about this, that he's physically seen me change so much, is that now when I tell him, listen, you can do whatever you put your mind to, that he knows is true. And I hope my nephews who watch, basically, who they know the same thing, that it's true when we tell them, listen, if you put your mind to it, you can do it. The only thing that's stopping you is you and what you tell yourself. So after Gringotts, we went to, oh, we split up with, told my brother-in-law to take our son to the Transformers. The wife and I got some express passes, and we went to Beeline to Rip Ride and Rocket. Now, Rip Ride and Rocket, we went to Universal in 2009. I met my wife in March of 2008. We had been going out for a year at that point, a year and a half. The weekend we went to Universal Studios was either the weekend after or a couple weekends after Rip Ride and Rocket actually opened, or they must have had a soft opening or whatever. The whole point of us going that weekend was to ride that ride. Now, it was also the same year I started training jiu-jitsu. That week, not even that week, the day before, I got injured, hurt my knee real bad, and I was like, man, it's fine. We'll go to Universal. I'll just rent a wheelchair and I'll wheel myself around the park. I naively believed I would be able to do this. And the only reason I thought I could was because when I was working in retail a couple years before that, not even a couple years, in like 6 years before that, I had broken my ankle. And I was in a cast for 6 months, and I would roll around the store in a wheelchair, and I would just work like that in a wheelchair, and it was fine. So somehow I thought, hey, I used to do that. I'll be able to, you know, roll myself around the park. Well, it was my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, and a friend of mine. And we learned about 20 minutes into the ride that that was going to be impossible. And they took turns pushing me around the park all day. And that's almost when, right then is when I knew she was a keeper, because she put up with me that whole day and she pushed my heavy ass around. So, you know, I had to marry her. So that's a ride that we went for. We stood in line. Another, what, two, three hour line. And even with the wheelchair, because they weren't letting that slide. That shit kind of, you still got to wait in a long ass line if you got a wheelchair. Anyways, we get up there, and the way the Rip Ride and Rocket ride is you sit in what's a racing seat, really, like a R32, and that's the only thing I can think of right now, like an R32 racing seat, like a Sparco car racing seat. Now it's angled, of course, and it also has like what you can consider like a C clamp. So it comes from the outside, clamps you in. Mine doesn't close. There's no way it was going to close. And back then it was actually funny because they had, there was a damn, am I mixing up two stories? Because I know the Raging Bull used to have this little red line. Well, it appeared that it was just shy, and I tried, couldn't get on it, so I left on this ride, and man, that was a sense of shame, because like I said, we had just been dating for a year and a half. She didn't ride it. She got off the ride with me, and you know, so we waited on the lawn for a while for my buddy to go back and ride it. And that was, you know, the last time I tried to get on that ride. Well, I get back, me and her, we walk up to it, and I'm kind of excited, a little nervous. And this one, I was like, she goes, "You want to use the tester?" I go, "Yeah, we got to test this one, because I know this one's tight." No. Yeah, this one's, I was very close to not fitting in this one. Now, it's definitely a very tight, that, you know, that racing seat and that C-clamp comes in. And when they say that thing, if that thing doesn't close, don't get on it. I've never experienced a roller coaster that was so violent. This thing is literally the best roller coaster I've ever been on. And solely for the fact that it's so violent, you will shake, you will. There was a point where I legit thought, I mean, I thought I was sucked into the seat, but you come over this hump and there's so much inertia that I got air and there was a click. And there wasn't, and that click scared the shit out of me, because when my wife heard it, I thought it was in my head. But when I looked over and I saw that she heard it too, I got scared. This thing, man, I thought the whole time, they're like, "Oh, you got to take things out of your pocket." They made us go through metal detectors to make sure that we didn't even have our phones in our pockets. And I'm here thinking, "Oh, what? This ain't shit." We wait in line. Oh my God, this fucking ride is the best thing in the world. And I want to find, first of all, if you know of a better roller coaster than that one, let me know, because I want to plan on going there. I am 100% hooked on this feeling. I need to go get on some more roller coasters, because that shit was awesome. And right now, if you can't get on a roller coaster, how can I help you get on a roller coaster? Because this shit is fun. And I mean, I'm still excited about it. It was great. And it was great that I was able to get on there with my wife, being that, you know, so many years ago. Shit, what's that? Almost 9 years ago, that she didn't ride it, because she didn't want to make me feel bad for not doing it. And just like when, you know, a couple years ago when we went to, what was it? We went skiing, I took them skiing, and I pretended I was going to be on a snowboard, and that didn't happen. But we went to a horseback riding place, and the guy didn't even have to ask me how much I weighed. He just knew immediately that he was, "Yeah, you're over 250, man. There's no way in hell you can get on." And I was like, "Yeah." And I, that, you know, she went, cause I told her to go with my son, and I had one friend, he stayed back. And I was like, man, I don't ever, having somebody stay back because you can't get on, it's the worst feeling. And you think, like, I don't know about you, but me, when I had someone had to stay back because there was something that I couldn't do, I felt worse for the person who I made stay back to stay with me than he must have felt about me not being able to ride. And that's just how I felt about it. It almost made me feel worse about making somebody lose that experience than me gaining that experience, if that makes any sense. So, yep, you know, riding roller coasters, I have a friend who they want, they're so ecstatic of how much weight I've lost that they want to take me skydiving. And I don't know how, part of me wants to do this. The other part of me is scared shitless and I don't want to do it. Who do you know somebody that skydives? What are their experiences? I have plenty of friends who've gone and they're still alive. I'm still scared shitless about attempting that or even thinking about the idea of me right now. My heart is beating harder thinking about jumping out of a perfectly useful airplane. Yet I want to do it, but it's probably not going to happen for a while. In the meantime, I'll be doing the CrossFit Open workouts, hitting up some more jiu-jitsu. I'm going to hit a real fast recipe for you guys. It's a keto chocolate mousse that I've made a couple times recently. Because simply I've needed something to make sure I didn't cheat or get off this keto train. So I take 4 ounces of cream cheese and 4 ounces of butter. You're probably better off using unsalted butter. I'm fucking a monster. I use salted butter. Yeah. I set those out. You got to set those out for a couple hours before you're going to do this. Cause it's, you want it just to soften naturally. You don't want to put it in a microwave or anything. Just let it soften naturally. The cream cheese is probably going to take a lot longer than the butter. So you got to plan accordingly. I try to do 3 hours and 2 hours ahead. But that's me. And even 2 hours, that butter sometimes still kind of hard. Anyways, so 4 ounces of cream cheese, 4 ounces of butter, set them aside. Take them out. Now, when you're about to do the recipe, I do a cup and a half of heavy cream in a bowl, get a mixer, and I start mixing it. And what you're trying to do is make heavy whipped cream out of the heavy cream. That's going to take a little bit. Once it starts getting hard, once the consistency starts getting thicker, I squeeze in about 2 or 3 drops of liquid stevia. I'm sorry, I had a brain fart. And as it, now I continue mixing, stirring, and make sure I get a little bit of that sweetness everywhere. Now, there's a recipe that calls for throwing a teaspoon of vanilla flavoring. First, I haven't had any of the vanilla flavoring, and I don't know the validity of having that vanilla flavoring if it has any sugars or anything. It's doubtful. I don't think it does, or any sugar alcohols. I've been making the recipe without it, so I've been doing without. You can do that if you want. Then I start mixing the butter and the cream cheese, put in the mixer with it. Continue mixing. Now, when that's done, I take 2 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa powder, dump it in there, and I mix it. Now, you gotta be careful with this because I fucked up and I put 2 tablespoons right on top of everything, turned on the mixer, and almost half a tablespoon is covered in my face and above me. So you will make a mess. My suggestion would be to kind of mix it in with a spoon beforehand, before turning on the mixer, so you minimize that powdery dust. You could probably do it as you're whipping the heavy cream, and you should probably do that. I don't know if it stops the cream from getting thick. I doubt it, but I'm probably going to have to start doing it then. Anyways, so keep on mixing. If you want, you can eat it like that, or just put it back in the fridge for a little, chill it. Should be about 2 servings. And it's something quick, nice little dessert. It really, the longest part of it is waiting for the cream cheese and the butter to soften. Now, you don't have to wait for that to soften. You could kind of stick the microwave, the butter in the butter in the microwave, make it liquidy. I didn't like the taste. It tasted too buttery when I did that. And if you don't let the butter soften enough, you'll get chunks of butter in the mousse. So the key is the consistency of the butter. Everything else kind of mixes fine. But that's a great little recipe for a dessert or something sweet that would get you through the day or through the week, you know, and keep you on track. Other than that, what else? I've picked up another, not another project car, but the second part of my original project car. The donor car is what we're going to call it for now. And this project that I'm doing is going to be fun. I can't wait to share more pictures and get down and dirty and start doing the work. There's a lot of parts that I still have to source before I do this engine swap. But everything looks good, and it's going to be fun once it's completed. So that's the podcast, y'all. Thank you for listening. Be checking out for my results on 18.1 of the CrossFit Open. Like I said, if you guys want to do it, the workouts, head to your, you know, to your box or whatever. Don't head, you know, do them at home. You're going to be able to find out what the workouts are every Thursday. So have fun with it. I'll see you in the next podcast. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Fat Boy Podcast. Have a nice day.